The Illinois Supreme Court's considering a new rule to limit the use of handcuffs and shackles during juvenile delinquency hearings. That proposal would prohibit the use of restraints on a minor unless a judge finds the youth is likely to hurt someone or escape. The Supreme Court's Rules Committee will take on testimony on the proposed change at a hearing next month in Chicago. Among the supporters of the change, the Illinois Justice Project, where Ira Laudermilk is the deputy director. She spoke about juvenile shackling with our reporter, Brian Mackey.
What is the process of juvenile shackling? I think we're all familiar with the image from TV, movies, even courtroom images of the adult prisoner coming in with leg irons, handcuffs, the chain around the waist. Is that what it looks like when juveniles are subjected to this practice?
What we have learned in looking into this issue, so I will preface all my statements by saying I'm not by any means an expert on juvenile shackling, but I have taken an interest in this since learning about it and learning about the traumatic impact that it has on youth. And so what we've learned is, the practice really does vary throughout the state, but what you're imagining in the adult court very much can and often does happen in juvenile court, where youth are brought in with handcuffs. There's a potential for the belly chains, ankle chains. It varies. And so what this rule tries to do is provide some uniformity in practice throughout the state and provide a presumption against shackling of juveniles in juvenile court because of the traumatic impact and harm that we know that it causes to children.
Now, I know the National Juvenile Defender Center, based in Washington, has a campaign against indiscriminate juvenile shackling, they call it. And they look at a number of states and that they rate them, and they have a little map, and some of the states are red, where they have, I guess, what they would consider rampant juvenile shackling. Illinois is not one of the dark red states on their map. I wonder, do you know how widespread this practice is? Does it vary from area to area in Illinois?
There is case law in Illinois where the Illinois Supreme Court has basically said that, there should not be a presumption of shackling in juvenile court. But so that's probably why Illinois is not that dark red state, because our Illinois Supreme Court has spoken on this issue and has spoken on it to provide guidance that, shackling does cause harm. It is traumatic, and they have recognized that. The issue is that the practice is varied throughout the state. So what we have found by having just informal outreach to various court actors, people who appear in juvenile court, is there are some judges who, on the one hand, will say, you will not be shackled in my courtroom. And then there are judges all the way on the other end of the spectrum who shackle every youth that come into their courtroom. So imagine a 13-year-old kid who's caught shoplifting and is arrested and has a court appearance. That kid can be shackled, and he can be shackled with the chains that you referenced earlier. It's a very gross disparity among not only counties, but among the various judges who sit within those counties.
How does being shackled affect someone in court in terms of ability to assist in their own defense, maybe the way they view the other players in the criminal justice system? Does it have an effect on those things?
Mental health experts have looked at this, and they, for the most part, they agree that shackling youth unnecessarily humiliates them, it stigmatizes them, and it also traumatizes them. Restraints impair youth's ability to assist in their defense by making effective communication more difficult, so they're less likely to be able to communicate effectively to assist in their own defense. It renders youth powerless. They feel a sense of betrayal having these shackles on them while they're appearing in court. It brings up feelings of fear, humiliation, shame. And it also can bring up memories of prior trauma that they may have experienced. The majority of you who are in the juvenile justice system have experienced some prior trauma. And mental health experts have said that when you place shackles on a kid who is relatively calm, but because the act of shackling does provide some trauma to them, you may evoke some traumatic responses. So that's where the fight or flight, I think, is what a lot of people call it. You know, a kid who's calm and they're shackled and they feel traumatized by that, their first instinct may be to freeze. And so they're not effectively communicating. Or their first instinct may be to fight. Or they may become more aggressive just because of the shackles. So it does impair their ability to effectively communicate. And then the actual act of shackling does cause some trauma that can also have some long-term impact on them as well.
So you said the practice varies around the state of Illinois. What does the proposed Supreme Court rule do?
So the proposed rule language right now provides some guidance to judges on what steps need to be taken in case they do make a determination that a youth should be shackled. So one, it does say that restraint should not be applied unless a court makes a finding on the record that restraints are necessary. And they can take information from the sheriff, the attorneys in court, regarding the youth's prior behavior or any other indicators that there may be a threat to safety, either of the youth or other people in the courtroom. And the judge is supposed to make a finding on the record before making the determination that a youth shall be shackled. And they should do this on an individual case-by-case basis. And as we were working on this issue and on the language, we wanted to make sure that, you know, the rule didn't provide an unnecessarily long or lengthy hearing. It can be a very quick exchange among the sheriff or the attorneys in court or the judge. The judge, you know, receives the information and makes the individual determination, and only then should a youth be shackled. But it creates a presumption against shackling while maintaining the discretion of the judges to make the individual determination.
And you said there was a Supreme Court case that had to do with this subject. Is this sort of codifying what was in the case law, or does it go beyond what was in that decision?
Correct. So it basically codifies what's already in the case law. And there's also another Illinois Supreme Court rule. That rule sets forth the circumstances for shackling in adult criminal court trial proceedings when a determination of guilt or innocence is being made. However, there is no rule right now that provides any guidance for shackling of children in juvenile delinquency court. The proposed rule would be broader than the current rule that's in place for adult criminal court, in that it would apply any time a youth steps into the juvenile court for any type of proceeding. I think it's just important for people to be aware that shackling is very traumatic and harmful and has some potential long-term impacts on youth, and that it's important that the presumption be that youth not be shackled and that there is due process for every youth that steps in delinquency court to ensure that they are not being shackled unless the judge, in his or her discretion, is making a determination on the record that shackling is necessary in order to preserve the safety and security of the courtroom.
That's Ira Laudermilk. She's the deputy director of the Illinois Justice Project, and she spoke with our Brian Mackey. The Illinois Supreme Court Rules Committee is set to hear testimony on juvenile shackling at an upcoming hearing next month, July 8th, in Chicago.